Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service, and it's 100% online, so you can access it from anywhere in the world. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy. That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network. Then you can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whenever it's convenient for you. If your therapist isn't the right fit for any reason, you can switch to a new therapist with no additional cost. With BetterHelp, you get the same professionalism and quality you expect from in-office therapy, but with a therapist who is custom picked for you, more scheduling flexibility, and at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/howtosurvivesociety. That's betterhelp.com/howtosurvivesociety. Hello, survivors. This is your girl, Abby Ayola Williams, and you're now listening to How to Survive Society. How to Survive Society is a weekly podcast that features survivors. These are people that have been through the ringers in life. They've been through hell and back, but they choose to stay positive. They choose to win. They choose to thrive, and they choose to survive. So let's get right into it. Hello, survivors. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of How to Survive Society. Today, I have a very special guest. Her name is Elsa Jean. She left the adult film industry about a year ago and has continued to grow her brand into a multi-million dollar empire. She's in the top 1% of OnlyFans earners. She has amassed over 3 million social media followers, and she recently became a Web3 founder with the release of her Elsa Jean digital collectibles. Wow, that's amazing. Elsa. So welcome and thank you for coming on How to Survive Society. So wow, okay. But the way this podcast is, it's more about telling your stories from like when you were a child, what you had to survive, how you survived it, tips you have to give to other survivors out there, and then we'll talk about like your entrepreneur journey and the Web3. So let's start from like your childhood days. So you said your mother suffered from mental illness, alcoholism, I believe it was.
Yeah. So my mom actually is schizophrenic. So it was just me and I have two sisters. I'm actually a middle child. So it was just my older sister, my younger sister, my mom all in one household. And then my dad, he lived separately from us, and he struggles with alcoholism.
Oh, okay. And yeah. You said you were in charge of taking care of your family.
I really was. Yeah. My older sister also struggles with mental illness. So we, as a family, that's something that a lot of people, and just overall, a lot of people struggle with that. But definitely in my family, I don't want to say a problem, but it's something that everyone kind of needs to watch for. So that's how I grew up, was with my mom and my sisters. And I really was in charge. For whatever reason, they kind of like were just like, oh, maybe I just stepped up and did it just naturally. But I got my first job at 14. And I was the one actually that paid the rent at 14, 15. Yeah. I was just telling someone the other day, our rent was actually only $500 a month. I lived in Canton, Ohio. So it wasn't too expensive.
Yeah, but that's still a lot for a 14, 15-year-old to have to do, pay rent.
Yeah, I mean
like go ahead.
It was I just was so natural, I think, for me, that I never really complained. And I looking back, I'm actually so thankful, because I knew kind of how to pay my bills on time. So when I turned 18 and I moved to LA, I kind of was like Like, I felt like mentally I was like almost like 25, you know, I was already paying bills. I knew when to pay them. I knew that you had to keep your credit like good. And yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. You remind me of, because I'm from Nigeria, and in Nigeria, we grew up fast.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no such thing as being a child. Like, from when you're like 10, 9 years old, you're shipped off to like boarding school. You have to do like, go to school on your own. It's like you're living on your own pretty much, but in a boarding school. So I do kind of get the growing up fast thing. There's an advantage to it. And of course, there's a disadvantage because then you don't feel like you got the chance to be a child and got a chance to be taken care of, you know, as you should have been as a child. So I do get that. Yeah.
You're almost like missing that nurturing type of environment for sure. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I get that for sure. And kudos to you for stepping up, you know, to help your family at such a young age, because that's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big deal. So was that one of the reasons why you went into the adult industry, you know, to provide for your family and just, you know, make money just to help out? Was that one of the reasons why?
So I actually started stripping actually underage. And so that's at 16, I really started to pull in a lot of money. That's, you know, still very young. So by the time I was 18, I did give my family some money, but not as much as I was making, if that makes sense. So I was still helping a lot. And then my mom ended up getting remarried and my two sisters like moved away and stuff. So I started in the adult industry because when I was stripping, I thought it would bring in more people to tip more because they would see videos. But then shooting adult videos was so much easier. And it was just like, you knew for sure you were getting paid that day because you know how stripping is. It's like, you don't know if people are coming in or not.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I did that. And then I was just like, oh, wait, this is so easy. And I called and I was like, yeah, I'm not coming back. And I actually stayed in LA.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you started stripping in Ohio? That's what you're saying?
Yeah. So I started stripping in Ohio at 16. And then I also stripped a little bit in Washington, D.C., actually, because my mom and us, we kind of moved to Virginia area for a short amount of time. And then not long after that, I went to L.A. I was like 18 in 2 weeks by the time I moved to L.A.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you've been there since.
I moved to New York a little bit and then I came back. Yeah. I mean, LA is great.
Exactly. How can you not like LA? Like the weather, the people, everything's like
the people. I don't know. The weather and everything else is great. The people there are definitely pretentious. Very pretentious.
Yeah, I can understand because everybody goes there to chase their dreams, to be an actor, an actress, or
everybody,
whatever, you know.
Even the waitresses, they're like, "Oh, I came here to be an actress or a singer," and I'm like, "Okay, you know, everybody else, I get it."
That's actually funny. Oh my goodness! So, by the time you were 26, you've already married 3 times. Please take us through your 3 marriages.
Okay, my first. This is everyone's like favorite question. My first marriage was at 18, and I was only married for 2 weeks, and he was married to somebody else, which is illegal. So my first marriage, I did have to get it annulled, but an annulment means like it doesn't really count, but I still count it. So and then my second one was shortly after, just a couple of months after, and I was married for 3 months. And then that person, he was actually an adult performer too, a male adult performer. So I met him in the industry. I met him kind of when I was still married to the other guy or like moving my stuff out. So it was kind of like an easy transition, you know, because I was living with my other husband and I didn't have a place. So I actually moved in with this other guy. It's kind of sad, but whatever. So I packed all my stuff, left, married him, divorced him after a couple of months because he was from England. And when you marry someone, you have to go to an immigration lawyer, right? And you have to do this whole process. And the immigration lawyer like takes me to a different room. He's like, I have to tell you, your husband has drug trafficking charges. He's not even allowed to be here. And I was like, oh my God, why didn't this person tell me that they were trafficking drugs? Like, even if it was 10, 20, I don't know. Like, even if it was forever ago, like, I really want to know if someone has a drug trafficking charge, especially like from a like from England to the US, I'm guessing. I'd actually never really got the details too much. So I was like, you have to go. Because I was like, we can't even be together. He has to go back. He wasn't allowed at all in the US. So he had to go back and he wasn't allowed back in. And I divorced him.
Wow. And did he ever tell you that he had those charges and explained why he had those charges?
Yeah, he said that it was when he was 18 and his father found like a note of a list of names and his father called the cops on him. I mean, it makes zero sense. Basically, he totally for sure was trafficking speed because I did get that clarification that it was speed. So he was trafficking that and I'm guessing selling it. And maybe his dad did catch him and called the cops, but I don't know. Yeah. I mean, that was just too much for me. I'm not into that at all. I like a bad boy, but not like that.
Yeah.
Maybe just a bad attitude.
That would impede you guys from like traveling freely, you know?
Yep.
Because they'll always be like, oh, sorry, you can't go because of this, you know? So, yeah.
And he wasn't allowed to work or anything because you can't get an ID or a social security because you're not allowed in the US. So he wasn't allowed to work. And I was like, well, what's up with the ID that you have now? Because he was working and he got like a temporary one. And then he drew over top of like the expiration date and extended his own expiration date and he got caught. So then he wasn't even allowed to shoot adult videos. And I was like, this is too much for me. Like, I'm 18. I cannot be taking care of you.
Yeah, exactly. That's good that you got out of that fast because it would have ended pretty bad for sure.
I mean, it ended so bad. It really did. The drama that was created around it was really bad because I did leave with my third husband. So I met my third husband when I was still with him and I was trying to leave him and stuff. And the guy was like, do you want to go to Paris with me this coming weekend? And I was like, absolutely. I would love to go. And I had that weekend off because me and my other, the husband, the second husband were renewing our vows that weekend. And I did really have that weekend off, but I wanted to get divorced already. So I left with him. My husband found out, of course, my family was in town for the wedding renewal and it was just it was such a huge mess. And then I divorced him and then got remarried. And I stayed in that marriage for 2 years.
I have to say you're savage.
Thanks. I was just young.
That's a good thing though.
I know. I was so young and I was just like living so freely. Like I really truly am a free spirit. So it's just like, if this isn't working, then okay. You know, I don't mean to do things maliciously. I just am, maybe I'm selfish.
Like I don't have time to.
Yeah.
To baby anybody, you know, I've done it for my family. I don't need nobody. So I understand.
Yeah.
I understand that mindset. Trust me.
I don't want to ever take care of a guy. That's like a really hard no for me.
Yeah, exactly. I understand you. And with your third marriage, now you said it was for 2 years.
Two years.
What happened with that
marriage? We were like super in love. He was older than me. I think I was 19 by the time I married him and he was like 40. So he was a lot older than me and I really was in love with him. But then he got the nanny pregnant because he had another kid from a different relationship and he had sex with the nanny and got her pregnant. And she told me and I was like, I'm not cool with this. Like I really lost it emotionally.
Yeah, because what? Like,
It was so hard on me. I was like, and yeah, so that divorce took a little bit because I was already with other people by the time they actually, filed, like it was approved and whatever else. So that one was a little bit harder for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
That
It's so messed up. And I stayed friends with him, surprisingly. We were so close where it was hard for me to really let him go. And I just now recently, a couple months ago, blocked him.
Oh my goodness. So, do you plan on getting married again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would tomorrow if the right person came around, they were like, "You want to get married?" I would do it tomorrow.
That's what's up.
Have you been married?
Yeah, I am. This is my second marriage, actually.
Don't
My
you love being married?
Well, for me,
Oh, good.
it's like I don't know what it's like to be alone, right? Like since
Yeah.
I was in high school, I've had a boyfriend, and college, a boyfriend. Then I got married at the age of 21, and then I stayed in that for like about 8 to 9 years. I
Oh,
had like three
wow.
children, and then my second marriage, now we're going to our 8 years. I have another three children, so I have like six children, two marriages. So it's like I've never had a chance to like just be alone by myself and really figure out who I
Yourself.
am. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, for me, I'm definitely a serial dater, clearly, but I did take like some time off and I actually really enjoyed being single. And now it's kind of like a struggle because I'm like, when I meet guys and they cause me like some type of like drama, I'm like, I just can't do it because I know that I really like living in my home by myself, not cleaning up after anybody. And, like with all those little things that I'm very OCD too.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing
Six
wrong with
kids
that.
is great though.
Yeah, I guess. It's a lot. I just do it. I'm just like, I have no
Just have
choice. I
to.
don't even
Yeah.
think. Yeah, I don't even think about it. I just do it. 'Cause
Yeah.
I do hear that question a lot. Like, how do you do it? Six children. I'm like, I don't know. It's God's grace.
You just, yeah, like you said, you just got to keep going. I mean, I don't have any kids, but I mean, I think six is great. I would love to have six kids.
Yeah, you can. You're still young
Yeah.
enough to
Yeah.
start, so
I
you
don't know.
definitely
My
can.
body might not handle that.
Trust me, we as women, we can undo anything. It's just
It's
a matter
true.
of just doing it. Like, trust me, you can. You can definitely
Yeah.
handle it. I mean, like, you've built a great business for yourself. You're
True.
you're a multimillionaire. Like, you can do anything. Trust me, like,
Yeah,
it's really,
you're
really
right.
possible. Yeah. So now let's talk about your podcast. It's called Heartbreakers. So what do you guys talk about on that? How often does it come out? What date? How can people listen to your podcast?
Yeah, so every Friday, we release a new episode, and it's about really, we kind of started it off of Twitter Spaces, right? So I kind of was doing Twitter Spaces, and just in general, I think because of my marriages and how many relationships I have been in, and the variety of the relationship, like I've been in a throuple, all types of different situationships and whatever. And a lot of people always ask me for advice. So I started these Twitter spaces and people really like them. And now I just every Friday I keep the link in my Instagram in the bio and they're up on YouTube and people write in questions and I try to give like a very open opinion. There's a lot of different conversations that people want to start. Like a lot of people, a lot of them are based off of cheating, surprisingly.
Yeah, that's a hot
Actually,
topic for sure.
not surprisingly.
It's a hot topic for sure.
Yeah.
There's
That's
always
recent,
somebody
though.
cheating.
Always, always. never fails.
It's so true. If it's not the guy, it's the woman. It's
people don't even ask. People don't ask anymore. They when someone has an issue, they just automatically assume someone cheated. So sad.
It's true, because most times it's that, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what breaks families apart, marriages, relationships. Yeah. It's just the way the world is right now, I guess. I think
it's social media. It's giving people this big head to think that everybody deserves to be with just anyone. And I think that that's really the problem, is like people get on social media and they're like, you know, they don't ever want to work through the issues because they're like, they see a different life and they're like, oh my gosh, that marriage or that, you know, life is so awesome. And I'm not saying you can't have what you want, of course, but I think people have forgotten about working through things.
Yep, it's true. Like, as soon as something gets hard, people are like, oh, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not dealing with this.
And they kind of forget true. Every relationship is going to have issues too. Yes. Just depends on how severe they are.
That's true. Like, the honeymoon phase does fade away, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of, do you want to be with this person and deal with whatever issue comes along
together?
That's what it comes down to. So I know it's true. Sure. You're right. People do forget that. They think everything's honeymoon, fun. Yeah, I'm in love 24/7.
Right. And then when someone loses their job or something like that, they're like, oh, never mind. This is too much drama for me.
I know, it's so true. The world is, we've gone bananas for sure. Like,
oh yeah.
No doubt about that.
Oh yeah.
So what made you get to blockchain technology?
So I actually had retired from the adult industry for a full year, and a lot of my friends were kind of still talking about NFTs, and I was trying to find just something new to work on. I was so bored. And so I was like, well, why don't I, again, Twitter spaces, start these Twitter spaces and people could kind of teach me and I could ask questions. And then a lot happened through Twitter. So like the blockchain community was really engaging and really helpful. And I was like, well, why not drop my own NFT collection? And I wanted to... I feel like my fans are always dropping new things, right, for them, whether it's merch or a new subscription or something like that. So it's like, this is a great way for me to kind of give them like a token to my NFTs where they can access more and get all these utilities. And it's kind of like a one payment type of thing. And then if they really don't like it or if they're over it or whatever, they could just sell it. But they still got that access. And I try to keep that content exclusive for them and exciting. I try to do different things like little voice notes and, you know, little Skype calls. They seem to really like it.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's but it really took me nice. Some time to really learn. And also at first people are like, she's just going to take the money and run away and actually not give you guys the utilities. And I was like, really had to prove myself for a second, which I kind of liked.
Yeah. It's good that you got people's trust, even though there'll always be trolls, of course, you know?
Of course. And I kind of, the trolls keep me going for sure. I really I like to use it to motivate me.
Yeah, I like that. Because sometimes some people let trolls get to them and just like, oh, that person is right. Yeah, I'm just going to stop. But it's like, no, they don't know you. Like, who are they to be telling you what you can or can't do? Like, please.
I mean, I'm very obviously my I feel like majority of my followers maybe are people that just want to hate, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like and honestly, in high school, I was bullied so badly that I feel like it really helped me in a weird way to get through the industry that I'm in.
But what were people bullying you for? Because I don't see anything for them to bully you for.
I know, right? Okay, so honestly, people were just so mean. It was started in high school, my freshman year, and the older grades were just so mean to me. And I remember there was just one specific moment where this girl thought her boyfriend wanted me. And I was like, I don't want your boyfriend. I really don't. And I remember telling her that. I was like, I really don't want your boyfriend. And it just spiraled. And I had to graduate at 16 because of it. It got so bad.
Oh my goodness. And it's mostly females, I'm guessing.
Females, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was some guys that were kind of just like losers that, you know, wanted someone to be mean to. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I feel like it really prepared me for adulthood. So again, in a weird way, I'm thankful. Because now when I see mean comments, I'm like, come on, I've heard this since I was 14, 15. Think of something new. You know, they're always like, true. You whore or whatever. I'm like, just chill out. Right. I've heard that too much.
Right. It's none of your business.
Yeah.
Wow. But I do understand the bullying part. I feel like most females bully other girls because of they're insecure within themselves. So they want to make you feel bad about yourself too, you know? So that's just, so it's not really. Yeah,
I think people don't even realize that they're doing it at times because it screams insecurity, you know, so much where I'm like, I don't ever want people to view me as like an insecure, unstable person. Yeah. So I try to really think about compassion first before I say just about anything. And I feel like people don't even realize that they're just, you know, they're doing it. They're being mean. It has to be, because being blatantly mean like that is just crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Because most people that are secure in themselves, they don't even have time to be thinking about somebody else or, oh, I'm going to make this person's life miserable today. Like, I never think like that. Why? Like, it doesn't make sense. I have my own stuff going on. So why would I get on the internet or get in somebody's face and be like, like, it's just, it's just screams insecurity from the other person. That's who bullies are, really. They're insecure within themselves.
Yeah. They're narcissists too, you know, where they really think that they're like, their opinion really matters. Cause I look at some people's comments and I'm like, you went onto somebody else's profile and was like, don't do this, that you're not even on your own. Like you are commenting on not even your own thing, you know, like it'd be one thing. It was on their profile and stuff, but you're going to other people's profiles and telling them what to do. Makes zero sense to me.
Definitely. So how did you get to be a top 1% OnlyFans creator? It's so funny. I joined that platform like a few years ago, but I didn't do nothing with it. Cause I had no idea. I was like,
really?
I don't know. Yeah, because I don't know. Like, it's just there. Like, if you type in my name, I'm there. And it's just, but there's no content. There's, because I didn't
really
know how to use it.
I'll help. If you really want, I'll help you, like, give you some ideas of what to post and depending on what you want to post of yourself, you know, but it's fairly easy. I had a strong fan base before OnlyFans. I always had the profile when it first came out, but I didn't get in the top 1%, not until the pandemic, just like everybody else, you know, everyone was online and stuff like that. But, I mean, I really try to engage with the fans, and I think that that's why I'm so high up in percentage, because every single day I take a selfie or, you know, some type of thing to give them just to do like a mass message. And I mean, my life almost revolves around OnlyFans, like giving them content, chatting with them. I mean, I'm on there all day long.
Wow.
But it's so easy. You can be on your phone. I'm on my phone already, so I might as well just be on there making money.
Make money, of course.
Yeah,
that's the mindset.
Instead of chatting with my friends, no offense to them, I'd rather. You know what I mean? This is always just like, hey girl, what's up? And I'm just like, I'd rather just be on there, you know, in the car. I'm always going somewhere. Always, it's actually easier than what people think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll look into it because
you should.
Yeah, I'll definitely look into it. So before we do go, is there any last thing you would like to tell the audience? Any tips you would like to give for someone looking to make lots of money?
I think that a tip to make a lot of money is on Instagram and Twitter is really get your following up, because after that it gets a lot easier because then you could just drop links. So mm-hmm. getting your following up is really important, and an easy way to do that at the beginning is doing share for shares or shout outs for other people that have large following, and you'll start to kind of grab their fan base and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then constantly posting.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for those tips. And listeners, if you're looking to get your fan base up, just do what she said.
Yeah. So just constantly engaging, constantly posting. It helps with mm-hmm. anything that you want to do. If you have a fan base, it will get a lot easier.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you so much. This was a fun interview. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, I did. For me, thank it was you.
Yes. Yeah, so thank you, Elsa, for coming through, and have yourself a lovely day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Big, big thank you to our guest for today. And if you would like to learn more about today's topic, please go on howtosurvivesociety.com. There you can get some life skills courses and some merchandise, and contact me if you would like to be a guest on the show. So thank you so much for tuning in, and have yourself a lovely day. Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and more, within minutes of finishing your recording. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great together. So if you ever need help to start your own podcast, reach out to me. And then, you know what you can do also? You know, you can follow the link in the show notes, that lets Buzzsprout know that I sent you, so you can get a $20 Amazon gift card when you sign up for a paid plan, and you can also support the show that way. So yeah, so if you're looking to start your own podcast, reach out to me, follow the link under the notes show, and you'll be able to sign up and get a $20 Amazon card. Yeah.